Hi, I'm Grant Armstrong, and I get to serve as directing pastor here at St. John's United Methodist Church in Edwardsville, Illinois. We exist to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our desire is to be a beacon of faith and service, focusing our passions and gifts to reflect Christ's love to the world. You're invited to join us each week at 9 a.m. for a time of traditional worship, or at 11 a.m. for contemporary worship. Thanks for joining us for this online version of the sermon.
We're reading this morning from 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 8 through 11. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Some people are just great gift givers. You've probably known some people in your life who are really excellent at giving gifts. It's not so much a matter of the worth of the gift in monetary terms, but the thoughtfulness behind it. It's a joy to know that someone values you so much that they put the time, effort, and energy into finding just the right personalized and meaningful gift for you. And then there are times when you've got people who are tough to buy for and time is short, and so you get them a gift card, and that does the trick, right? So for example, the other day I got an email from Betty Treat. She mentioned needing some help, and so I tried calling, left her a voicemail, and I emailed her as much, but she asked if I could help her out. See, her niece was having a birthday, and she wondered if I could go and buy an iTunes gift card for her. She was on the road, and so it would be a big help. And I responded, sure, what amount? She said, $400 in $100 denominations. She'd pay me back as soon as she'd see me next. Well, somebody was going to have a really nice birthday, right? I don't know Betty's personal business. I figured she's probably doing okay, and she strikes me as a generous person. And as a sweet older woman in the congregation who is asking me for tech help, that's not the first time something like that has happened. I'm still pretty new here, and so I want to make sure that I'm not disappointing people and not letting people down if I can help it. And so I figured that this was something she would take care of. This is something I could do to help. I had to run to some meetings, and so I would get to it later on that night, and some of you may have already figured out what's going on here. I swing by Walmart, pick up the gift cards, and did just what Betty asked in the email. Peeled off the stickers revealing the code, conveniently scanned them all into a letter-sized document, and shot that email, including the receipt, out to Betty as soon as possible. I went to bed that night feeling pretty good about the noble thing I was able to accomplish. Hopefully, Betty was able to give that gift to her niece before the birthday was over. When I woke up the next morning, I was checking my email. I had a reply from Betty. She said that her niece had loaded the cards, but there was something wrong with a subscription for her device. Could I please send $400 more? And it was then, only then, that I finally figured out what had happened. As I looked back over the chain of emails, I started recognizing clearly, one after another, all of the red flags. I had been 100% scammed. I'm a skeptic, sometimes even downright cynical, but they hit me square in my new pastor trying to do right in a new community jugular. And I bought it hook, line, and sinker like a huge sucker. My stomach sank, and I felt nauseated. A few different things were going through my mind. First, I knew I was in for a long series of phone calls that morning because I knew that they were not going to get away with this. But before the morning was up, a mere hour and a half later, I had spoken with Discover Card, iTunes, corporate Walmart, the FTC, local Walmart, Discover again, and finally the Edwardsville police, who sent out an officer to file a report and let me know that you know they're probably never going to find these people right. That was the hardest call because it's tougher to admit that you're stupid in front of a real person as opposed to over the phone. The cards were marked as frauds, the accounts that activated them were frozen, the purchase was tagged as disputed, and the investigation is underway. Now, ultimately, we probably won't be charged the $400 and pretend Betty, her pretend niece, will probably not have anything to show for it, except for perhaps my final email, where I borrowed from the message that the Apostle Paul sent to the Corinthian church, reminding them that thieves will not inherit the kingdom of God, which is perhaps not my most gracious moment. The cleanup process was a pain, but that wasn't the toughest part. The first tough part was, it occurred to me that for the very first time that I may no longer be smart enough to use the internet safely. That is disheartening. But the second difficult part was this. It made me question my desire to be helpful and generous. I got taken for a ride. I don't want to be taken for a ride again. That kind of gullibility is expensive, and I can't afford to be gullible like that. But I do want to be helpful. I want to be generous. I will not be buying any of your niece's iTunes gift cards in the near future, but that's out of an abundance of caution, not from a lack of love. See, I still need to be able to show that kindness to others because God has first shown that kindness to me. Same type of love that Jesus has shown to me. And that leads us to our first lesson from this morning's scripture. Love is the first gift we receive and give. Most important of all, this morning's verse says, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. I think it's true in just about any situation, until we are assured that we are loved, it's tough to be thoughtful towards others. It doesn't feel safe to be thoughtful. Until you know you are loved, there's something inside of us that's searching for some kind of fulfillment. We want approval and affection and maybe validation. We want to know that we're worthy, that we're desirable, that we're sufficient. Until we have some degree of certainty about that reality, just how much we're loved, a part of us will always long for that. It directs our subconscious thoughts. It directs our behavior. It's like we're crying out to be loved. I think that's one of the things that people find in a relationship with Jesus Christ. That restless place in our hearts that so desperately wants to be loved. Well, we find that love. Unconditional love in the very selfless and precious gift of Jesus Christ. And when we find that the God who created the universe has seen fit to look upon your life, your beginnings, your failures, your successes, your strengths, your frailties, and to love you with no conditions, no excuses, like it or not, you are loved. That's the very first gift that God gives us. You are crafted in love. You were fearfully and wonderfully made on purpose. And that purpose is first to experience the love of God. And once we've got that, we've got something. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19 says, we love because he first loved us. That's a source of any love that we have to offer, because we first know God's love for us. We're able to love others because we know what it is to be loved. And our understanding of love will stretch and it will grow. When Peter says we are to love each other deeply in verse 8, it literally means to stretch out our unconditional love. Sometimes it translates as fervent, but it basically means, let's see how far this thing can go. Like filling up a water balloon to see how far it can stretch. That's how this calls us to love. Not necessarily in a way that causes us to break or explode, but in a way that causes us to fill to overflowing and find the new reaches with the love that God has given to us. And did you notice how Peter, the apostle who denied even knowing Jesus, suggested that we let our love stretch? Peter, who was restored and forgiven over a fish breakfast on a Galilean seashore as Jesus tied loving Christ with feeding his sheep, well, he suggests we show love by offering food and sheltering hospitality, because that's a love that builds friendship. Our next lesson is this. Gifts are loaded with divine power and joy. Gifts are loaded with divine power and joy. This passage goes on. God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. Peter's speaking here of spiritual gifts. I don't know if you've heard the story, but during the French Revolution, there were three Christians who were sentenced to die at the guillotine. One Christian had the gift of faith, one the gift of prophecy, and one the gift of helps. The Christian that had the gift of faith was going to be first to be executed. He was asked if he wanted the hood over his head, and he declined, said he was not afraid to die. "I have faith that God will deliver me," he shouted bravely. His head was positioned under the guillotine and his neck on the chopping block. He looked up at the sharp blade, and a short prayer later, waited confidently. The rope was pulled, but nothing happened. His executioners were amazed, and believing that this must have been an act of God, they freed the man. Next up was the Christian with the gift of prophecy. His head was positioned under the guillotine blade, and he too was asked if he wanted a hood. "No," he said, "I too am not afraid to die. However, I predict God will deliver me from this guillotine." At that, the rope was pulled, and again, nothing happened. Once again, the puzzled executioners assumed this man received a miracle from God, and so they freed him. The third Christian with the gift of helps was next. He was brought to the guillotine and likewise asked if he wanted to wear a hood. "No," he said, "I'm just as brave as those other two guys." So the executioners positioned him under the guillotine and were about to pull the rope when the man stopped him and said, "Hey, wait a minute, I found what was wrong with your guillotine." There are a number of spiritual gifts. Administration, Christian community building, compassion, discernment, evangelism, encouragement, faith, generosity, healing, helping, speaking and interpreting foreign and prayer language tongues, knowledge, leadership, miracles, prophecy, servanthood, shepherding, teaching, and wisdom. There are all sorts of different gifts. Scripture describes the power of these gifts in our lives at work like dynamite, that these gifts in our lives have explosive power. More than our natural abilities and skills, these gifts are loaded with divine strength designed specifically to draw people to Jesus Christ. Last weekend, we had, it would have been 2 weekends ago, we got to have a mission and ministry fair. There were countless ways that people could partner with St. John's to serve the local and global community with fellow believers. And it can all be overwhelming when we look at the significance of the need. And it's certainly exhausting if we try to do all of that out of our own strength. That's why front and center of all the activities, there was a table inviting you to learn your spiritual gifts. There's a survey that Dan put together this beautiful online survey for us so that you can fill it out and find out what your spiritual gift is. And so as we learn together to use those gifts that fill us up and do the greatest good for God's kingdom, if you haven't already taken that survey yet, please feel free to go to thenewstjohns.com/serve, and the link to the survey is on that page. Why do we do that? Why is it important for us? It's because God did not supply us with rocket engines simply to keep us in the garage for show. We've been entrusted with our daily provision and supernatural power for good reason. But it's not for us to boast. That happens all too often when church folk become keenly aware of the power that they possess. They forget whence it came and why. The Apostle Paul had to offer a corrective to a fairly puffed up Corinthian church when they started getting a little too full of themselves for no reason when they discovered that they had these divine gifts. Paul asked the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 4:7, "Who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you brag as though you did not?" If these are gifts from God, what are they to be used for? Well, that's our next lesson. These gifts are entrusted to us for God's glory. These gifts entrusted to us are for God's glory. This passage goes on, "Then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen." It was on a high school mission trip when a shy new freshman was asked to pray, and everything to do with his non-Jesus self didn't want to. But he decided to give in and pray out loud for the very first time. And it wasn't poetry, but it was a sincere conversation with his Father God. And the wavering in his voice made it seem all the more like a gift. It's how we knew it was God working through him in that moment. After he said amen, he looked up and smiled. You can tell that he felt like he had done something that he was designed to do. With that simple surrendering act of prayer, his love was being stretched. and the group that was grateful for his willingness to pray for all of us, including his mother, who happened to be one of the chaperones on that trip, was moved to tears. God was glorified. Maybe it was in a nursing home where she discovered that her time showing love by sitting and listening to stories and lending a hand to some older members in the congregation brought her an unexpected joy, and with that, her love was being stretched. God was glorified. Maybe it was when he learned about the need for clean water in Liberia, and when a desire to provide deep water wells by raising and giving away money like he had never done before rose up in him, just like it was mercury in a thermometer on a hot day. That's when his love was stretched and God was glorified. Could be when the newly empty-nested volunteer for VBS for the first time and found these kids to be as absorbent as little sponges, and their lives were being shaped by every work that they would hear. And those kids just seemed to hear and understand that Jesus loved them. And her smile couldn't be taken away with sandpaper. Her love was stretched, and God was glorified. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you've been given gifts, and they're to be used for God's glory. This whole sermon series, this Beacon series, is about gifts in a way. We've been looking at our St. John's vision statement because I think it's a helpful way to make sure we're doing what God has called us to do, that we get to celebrate what God is doing through us, and we get to find ways to step deeper into this faith journey as disciples who make disciples for the transformation of the world. I've only been here for a short time, not quite 4 months now. I know St. John's has recently faced a difficult season. That's part of our current reality. But healing and joy is in our future. In order for that to take place, however, we get to come together to utilize the gifts we've been given for God's glory. Has God given you a spiritual gift? The future that God has in store for any church, but certainly for St. John's, counts on you walking more and more into that gift. It's for glorifying God. It's for building up the body of Christ. It also happens to draw others near to Jesus and fills us with joy. If you're not yet living out the spiritual gift that Jesus has given you, now's the time to let your love be stretched. Has God provided for your needs? Despite hardships, God has been faithful to the needs of this congregation. My hope and plan for the coming year involves us helping to locate God's peace that surpasses all understanding. It means doing some things to rebuild stronger foundations for the congregation of today, and it means doing things with a renewed eye on giving God our very best to provide a hope for the future. In the next several days, you'll be receiving a letter from me. Please open that. I promise I'm not going to be asking you to buy my niece iTunes cards for her birthday. It really is from me. The letter invites you to be in prayer about how you might partner with St. John's through financial gifts in 2019. I'm not asking you to consider the church's needs, but to spend time thinking about God's goodness. Is God asking you to let your love be stretched for his glory? Would you spend time with God praying about that? We'll have a special dedication day on Sunday, November 11th, to bring in and dedicate what we believe God is calling each of us to give. Even if you fill out an online form, and there will be an online option, those will be covered in prayer as well. I believe that God has truly gifted this congregation in some generous and loving ways. I believe that the very best days of St. John's United Methodist Church are still ahead of us and not behind us. I believe Jesus will use our faithfulness to accomplish every need and every calling that has been set before us. And I believe we will see our love stretch and grow. And I count on this. God will be glorified. Will you pray with me? Loving God, thank you. We get to share your love because you have first shared love with us. What a joy and honor it is to be counted as part of your family. Not only that, but you have given us gifts to help us know our place in your beautiful world. Help us to use those gifts out of love. Help us to find that the love that we possess already will be stretched and expanded and renewed and refreshed, and that we would be filled with joy as we get to see more and more people connect with you. Lord, we are so grateful for all that you have done for us. Anything that we offer is a token, but this is what we have to give, our lives in grateful response. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, Amen.